So yes, Lord, we pray that you will shine your light in our hearts to help us see your glory this morning and to worship you. Amen. I think I've concluded that it's impossible to truly understand something we haven't experienced. I mean, we have an idea of what something might be like, but we don't really know because we don't know. It's not a part of our personal reality. So, for example, I don't know what it's like being a Cuban or being a woman. Never been there. Can't understand being a cat lover or being a native Hoosier. Don't know what that's like. Being an ethnic minority or loving marshmallow peeps at Easter has never been a part of my reality. I just don't get it. And so the best we can do if we've not experienced it, if it's not a part of our reality, is just to try to fit it into what we understand. Another example in my own life was before we were, Teresa and I were married, my experience was with kids, shall we say, was not so positive. And in my experience, children were snotty, germy, loud, crying, demanding. I could go on. And so at that point in my life, I could not understand why anyone in their right mind would want to be a parent. If something's not a part of our experience, it's just hard to understand. And I think as we come to resurrection, it's the same thing, isn't it? It's hard to understand resurrection because it's not a normal part of our experience, of our reality. This is what we see in our text from John chapter 20. Jesus has been laid in the tomb hastily on Friday evening, right before sundown. So at sundown, Sabbath begins. The third day starts Saturday night, and we know Saturday night the women continue to prepare the burial spices and incense that they were not fully able to prepare for Jesus' burial. And so early the next morning on Sunday morning, Mary goes to the tomb early. And we know from Mark and Luke that there were other women with her. But John focuses on Mary, and what she finds is that the stone has been moved and the tomb is empty. And so she runs back and speaks with John and with Peter. And her only explanation, her only understanding of what she's seen is someone's taken the body. Right? Because that's her experience. Someone has taken the body. And so Peter and John run to find what she had said was true, that the tomb was empty. I love the little side note that they start out at the same time, but it points out that John wins. just to make that clear. So John wins, he looks into the tomb, he doesn't go in, he sees the grave clothes. Peter finally arrives, Peter, you know, he's slow, and he enters and he examines and he's trying to understand what's going on here, what does all this mean? Eventually John enters and he perceives, he's starting to understand, and the text says that he believes. He believes something because we know right in the following verse, in verse 9, it says they still don't understand that according to the scriptures, Jesus had to rise from the dead. So they're understanding but not really understanding. They're trying to put all this together and make sense of it. But of course they can't. And we do the same thing, don't we? We try to make sense of it. How do we try to fit a resurrected Jesus into our life? What does that really mean? Or what does that really look like? Any ideas? What are some ways that we might try to fit Jesus into our life, into our reality? Anything come to mind? Any wild guesses? One way I think I try is I try to put them in my schedule. I'll just make them a part of my schedule. And if you're like me, that means that he gets squeezed out of my schedule because I'm pretty busy. It's kind of like trying to put one more pair of socks in my sock drawer. Ain't going to happen. Pops right out. Anyone relate to that? Or he gets compartmentalized. Jesus fits in certain places in my life, and there are other places that he doesn't fit. Or he's just a belief. I don't know what to do with Jesus, so I believe that he died and rose from the dead, and that one day I'm going to go to heaven and be with him, and I'll just live my life until then. Or he's there to help me when I'm in trouble. I live my life, and then when things get rough, things are hard, then I can call to Jesus, and he'll be there to help me. We have a lot of ways in which we try to make sense of this resurrected Jesus, that we try to fit him into what we understand life is meant to be. But a risen Jesus doesn't fit into our life. He doesn't fit into our reality. And he wants to make this clear to us. In this text, the disciples, guys are impatient, so they go back home. But Mary stays there, and she's wailing, she's weeping, she's crying. And then crazy things begin to happen. She looks in the tomb, and there are a couple angels. And they're saying, "Why are you crying?" "What do you think I'm crying?" And so she says what she knows. "They've taken our Lord." Right? She's still trying to understand. Someone took him. She turns and sees Jesus, though she doesn't recognize him in his resurrected body. She thinks he's a gardener. And he asks the same, "Why are you crying?" And so she tells him, "Well, if you have taken our Lord, then tell us where he is." She's still trying to fit him into what she understands and knows. He calls her name, Mary, and somehow then she recognizes that it is Jesus. It is her Lord. Matthew tells us that she bows down and grabs his feet. And in verse 17, it's an interesting response that Jesus gives. I'll just read it. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father." And literally what he says is, "Do not cling to me. Do not cling to me." Now, there are probably a number of reasons that he says this, but you can imagine she sees Jesus and she says, "Oh, good, everything's the way it used to be. He's back and everything will be fine." And his response is, "No, the old is gone, the new has come. I don't fit into your life anymore as you understand it. So don't cling to me, don't cling to what you think you understand, because I'm going to the Father." See, what I think we realize here is that Jesus didn't rise from the dead to fit into our life, to fit into our reality. That Jesus rose from the dead to create a whole new reality, a resurrection reality. What we call the kingdom of God. A whole new reality where all people are valued, where the marginalized are loved and valued. I think it's so significant here that the person who the angels reveal themselves to, the person that Jesus first shows himself to, is a marginalized person in that society, a woman. That's no coincidence. And it's a woman who then is charged to go and tell the other disciples, the men, that Jesus had raised from the dead. It's a whole new reality. And he had given us hints of this in his ministry, but now it's reality. It's a whole new reality of endless possibilities because Christ lives and reigns with his Father. Again, notice what he says. "I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus reigns in his resurrected body right now in the presence of the Father. What all does that mean? That's crazy, isn't it? It's a whole new reality of belonging to God and to his family. He says, "My Father and your Father. My Lord and your Lord." He'd never talked like that before. "You're part of us now." And it's a whole new reality of purpose on earth, because now we are the stewards of the resurrection reality for this generation. We are sent to continue the work that Jesus Christ began. Leonard Sweet wrote this: on Easter morning, the tomb, the cradle of death, becomes the womb, the cradle of life. A whole new reality has been born. But even though we naturally want to fit him into our lives and try to make sense somehow, like Mary and like the disciples, and even though if you're like me, we can get lost with and confused by all the Christian activities we're supposed to be doing, or the opportunities we're supposed to take to be learning, or ministries we can get involved in, or theologies that we're supposed to be understanding. The great news is we cannot figure out how Jesus fits into our life. We cannot understand a resurrected Jesus and what that means for us. But this new reality can be our experience. And that's the miracle. That we experience the resurrection reality by living life with Jesus. We experience the resurrection reality by living life with Jesus. God raised Jesus from the dead to prove that everything he said was true. That he was God's Son who had set us free from sin. God raised Jesus from the dead so we'd know that he restored our relationship with God, that now we are forgiven. We are completely loved by God the Father. And the big picture is this: we were created to live our life with God. And now through the resurrection, we can. Everything's been restored to what God originally intended. That's the good news. And we know this is what was on Jesus' heart and mind. Of course, there were so many other things, but listen to what he says in John 15, verse 4. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. What's he talking about? I want you to live in union with me. That's what this is all about. And he gets even crazier in John 17, verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone, his disciples. I pray also for all those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Did you catch all that? The goal of all this, what my prayer is that we will all be one. We will live in union, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the church. That's what this is all about. What God wants above all, through all he's done through Christ for you, is you. That's what he wants. He wants you to share your life with him. He wants your attention. Ultimately, he wants your love. Now, of course, our studies and ministries and theologies, all good things. But I dare say it's not the best thing. The best thing is union with God through Jesus Christ. Because it's through our life with him that he will show us who we are, how we're to live, what our priorities are, what the church is, what our purpose is. He will unveil the kingdom for us as we live life with him. I think Augustine said it best in his Confessions. He said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord. And our heart is restless until it rests in you." We'll keep searching, we'll keep looking, we'll keep struggling and striving until we find that God is what we've longed for our entire life. Union with him is what we were made for. And so Mary, the disciples, the Apostle Paul, countless disciples through history have been changed through their experience with the risen Lord. And sometimes we look at those people and say, man, look at the crazy things they're doing. Well, because they're living in a different reality. They're living in resurrection reality. And so even though the disciples knew what Jesus taught, he knew that they had told him many times that I'm going to rise again on the third day. Even on the day he rose, they were hiding in fear until he appeared, until he showed up and began to teach them and guide them and help them understand there's a whole new reality now in my resurrection. And it's the same way that it's through living life with Jesus that his resurrection reality unfolds his kingdom for us. I'd mentioned I didn't like kids. But eventually, I experienced the beauty and mystery of children as a parent, and it changed my life. Now, don't get me wrong, they're still snotty, germy, slimy, loud, crying, and demanding. But my experience completely changed my perspective of what that was. And I hear it on myself. I've heard it. Many people say, oh, union with God, well, that's not me. I'm not into that. That's not my personality. That's not my experience. I don't hear God. I don't see him working. You haven't experienced him then. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. And you'll find life. For me, at least, this is very counterintuitive. Because for most of my Christian life, I have worked very hard to serve him. In fact, so hard that I would neglect my family and my health and normal kind of living just because it made sense to me. My reality was that if something's important to you, you kill yourself for it. And what I came to realize is that fitting Jesus into my reality, what made sense to me, was keeping me from his reality. That all he wanted was me. He didn't want what I did for him. And that what I did for him would come out of being with him and living life with him. I had it all turned around because that's what made sense to me. And so I have so far to go in learning to live my life with Jesus each moment. I shared a few weeks ago about my, shall we say, difficulties with travel and how I tend to get a little anxious and stressed out and not the nicest guy. Well, what I was describing was just going from just doing my thing to trying to travel with Jesus. And how that has begun to change my whole experience and my wife's experience of travel. And so that is what I'm trying to learn, is each moment to live with Jesus. And sometimes it goes well. And sometimes, well, you know the alternative, right? So this week, Easter week, a lot of things going. It's, you know, I'm really important, as you know, and very busy. So things are going crazy. And I'm working hard, getting everything accomplished. And Thursday morning, Teresa calls me and says, honey, I got to work and my tire's flat. No way. Today? Seriously? Of course. And so right away, I hear the Spirit saying, well, are we going to do that together? Or are you going to do it without me? Well, I want to do it with you, Lord. I don't know if I can, because I'm really upset right now. I'm stressed. Or am I the only one? So it was, I'll be honest, it didn't go all well. But part of it was good. And there was peace, and there was beauty in it. But like I said, I'm learning. I'm still learning to live all of my life with Jesus. But I've come to realize, and hopefully we begin to hear, that that's what the resurrection is all about. Now we can. Now we can. Now, I want you to hear me. I'm not necessarily talking about quiet times or going to church or going to pods or doing more ministry. I mean, all of that is great. Of course, we encourage that and help and equip you to do that. I'm talking about giving the Spirit of God our attention each minute of the day. Living in His presence as we were created to. And of course, dedicated times of prayer and silence and reflection and study and listening help us really give God our attention, because that's what we're doing, right? We're taking space in our life to give God our attention in those times, which is really helpful in training us. But these things, hear me now, these things are not the goal of the Christian life. The goal is living our life in union with the Lord through His Holy Spirit. That's the goal. That's what we were created for. That's what the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ was all for. Amen? Living our life in surrender to our loving Father every moment. And then no matter what we face, no matter what we've lost, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we fear, no matter what we need help with, we are with God in it. And we know He's for us. No matter how the circumstances go, no matter how our challenges end up. And that, my sisters and brothers, will transform our life minute by minute, guaranteed. Because every minute becomes a moment of transformation. Because with Jesus, we begin to see the value of every person and the endless possibilities of every moment. And with Jesus, we're reminded that we are His family and we are sent to bring Him glory and let other people know of who He is. With Jesus, we know those things and are able then to live into them. And so let me encourage us. Let's start with small moments lived with God. Maybe you brush your teeth in the morning with Jesus, and that's as far as you can get. Amen. Awesome. Good job. Or maybe you can get through breakfast, and you eat breakfast with Jesus. That's great. And maybe you can stretch into larger moments. And maybe then we can take some time at work when we're going to do this task at work with Jesus. Or we're going to go to school with Jesus, and we're going to go through this class or this study session with Jesus. And we just try to keep going further, right? And when we notice that we're not, hey, where'd Jesus go? Oh, He's still here. Okay, come on, Lord. I'm back. Every time we wander, we just return when we notice. And the Holy Spirit will help us. Because that's what He longs for. Family, Christ is risen. He is with us through the Holy Spirit. And so let us learn to live in His resurrection reality. Amen. Let's pray for that. Lord, we see it now. We see why You have gone through all of this for us so that we will be restored in our relationship with You. Lord, you created us to live with You, to commune with You, to be in union with You. And Lord, we know that that is our heart's desire. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, help us. May we live at least part of this day in Your presence, aware of Your presence, aware of Your goodness, aware that You are for us, so that you can speak to us and guide us into life. Lord, may all this be so for your glory, that we as your people can bring your light to the world. And it's in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen.